Welcome back. It's 8 minutes past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. We're joined by Richard Barr. He's the CEO of a manufacturing firm in Minnesota and the founder of Threshold to Life Ministries in Minneapolis. Good morning, Richard. Welcome to Faith Radio. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, getting up early. We appreciate it. First of all, tell us about Threshold to New Life. What exactly is this ministry all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So Threshold to New Life is a, we're a 501c3. It was founded by my wife, Carla, and I. Just over 3 years ago now, and we've now since been joined by a number of our friends and other people. And so we work to provide relief and restoration to the homeless. And so we began to do that by providing kind of temporal needs like coats, hats, gloves, bus cards, cub cards, things like that, bus tokens. And I like to say with every great strategy that I've come into in the past, I usually notice it in the rearview mirror. So what really has begun to happen is that we begin to connect with housing agencies that are associated with the homeless shelters. And the housing agencies refer clients to us that are already housed but are in jeopardy of losing their housing. Mm. So they refer those clients to us because they're beyond their reach anymore. They can't help them any longer. So they refer the client to us. We step in. We work with the landlord and the client to try to work out a situation, which includes sometimes we provide a grant to get them restored and back on track with their rent so that they can stay in their housing. Because really the big idea there is that if you go through a program and you get housed through a housing program to a shelter, and you lose that housing, in many cases, you have to wait a year before you can re-enter a housing program. So these people end up churning, and they end up back in homeless shelters. So last year, in 2015, we were able to do that 54 times.
Mm. Wow. How did God inspire you to use your business and leadership skills to help those who are struggling in your community, Richard?
You know, we've been... Well, it's been a journey, I guess, like all of us in our faith journey. And I think back in 2000, where I decided to, start to give God my best and really surrender to Him, really began a life of service and trying to serve those that have needs. And actually, in our life group, our home group, we read a book called Radical by David Platt, and that really kind of flipped the whole model upside down for us. And it was from that it was actually my wife's idea. She had been working to serve, and she had tried a number of different things and just really couldn't find her stride, what she wanted to do. And after we read Radical, she said, you know, we should get organized what it is that you do, because I've already been serving in homeless ministries for, I think it's been about 9 years now, serving breakfast down at the Salvation Army and so forth. And I said, well, what do you mean get organized? And so that's what I've been, just as she's been teaching me the last 3 years, is what get organized means. So get organized means a website. It means 501c3. It means a board. It means programming and developing connections throughout those in the homeless community that are there to support it already.
You know, a lot of us are so busy with work and family that we don't pay a lot of attention to the needs in the community right around us. How did you mention you got involved with the Salvation Army and started serving breakfast about 9 years ago? How did you begin to start noticing the needs in your city that needed to be met, rather than just, you know, focusing on your own life, your own work, your own family?
Well, I think it first began with the desire to help, and then I think too many times I guess we. You know, we can almost become paralyzed by our own thinking about, boy, what should I do? Versus, you know, kind of I'm kind of a ready, fire, aim sort of a guy. So I'll just jump in and give something a try. And as long as I'm failing forward, it doesn't matter to me. So, those weren't the first things that we've tried or we've done. I mean, they just happen to be kind of what the present state is. I mean, there's all sorts of other things that we've tried and been involved in. These just kind of happen to be the latest projects. But really, a friend of mine is what led me into getting connected with the Salvation Army. And so we're not actually specifically allied with the Salvation Army. They just let us use their facility. But we've got teams of people that serve breakfast at the Harbor Light facility, the one down by the Twin Stadium, every single morning, 365. And so we've been doing that for the last 9 years. And we feed about 125 people a day, oatmeal, grits, cold cereal, coffee juice, milk. So we feed about 44,000 meals every single year. So we fund it, we staff it. So part of my job is to kind of organize those teams.
Well, obviously, taking your business skills, your ability as a CEO, and then applying those skills to, helping people who are in desperate need. And any numbers, just estimates on the number of homeless people that are in the Twin Cities right now?
Oh, I'm not really that plugged into that stat. I mean, it's certainly got to be in the thousands. I know that some of the shelters that we support directly, the two biggest ones are Higher Ground down by the Farmers Market in Minneapolis. They have 171 people a night downstairs. I think they've got 40 on the second floor. I think Salvation Army has 130 or 140 in Safe Bay. So I guess you'd have to I don't know how you define homelessness. I mean, there's other people that are living at those sites in various kinds of programming, but it's certainly got to be in the thousands. And there's a lot of men and women that choose not to be part of the shelter system. So they couch hop. During the summertime, there's a lot of them that will live outside. They'll camp outside, maybe down by the river, different kind of wooded areas around the city. They're just kind of invisible, I think, to a lot of those statistics. Mm.
Well, seeing a need and meeting it is really what it's all about. And our guest is Richard Barr. He's the founder of Threshold to Life Ministries in the Twin Cities. We'll hear about a book that Richard has recently come out with. It really fits in with this ministry. Coming up next here on Faith Radio. Good morning. It is a Wednesday, 18 minutes past at Faith Radio. James 5:16 teaches us that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman accomplishes much. And we would invite you to join our Faith Radio prayer team. If you haven't done it already, why not go to the website, myfaithradio.com, sign up to be a prayer warrior. We'll send you a weekly prayer email, and you can join our team. Believe so strongly in prayer here at Faith Radio. My guest is Richard Barr. He's the CEO of a manufacturing firm in the Minneapolis area, the founder of a ministry called Threshold to New Life Ministries. They serve the homeless, something that Richard and his wife have been called to. I'm curious, Richard, you said your wife had really a sensitive heart, and did she start to encounter homeless people on her commute? What was it that in her mind said, okay, this is the ministry that God is calling us to?
Yeah, that's a great question. So she knew that I had been serving in the homeless community for quite a few years. And as she tried to get involved with, she got involved in some ministries that serve young people and so forth. She just really didn't find like it was something that was for her in particular. And I think it was after that radical study is where she saw me being, having my faith activated, rather than just kind of sitting along the sidelines. And so she really wanted to get in the game. And that's where I think that really began. So we did some research. And so she took some time and connected with some other folks that are in various ministries around the Twin Cities. And she kind of learned some of the things that she wanted to be a part of and not. Like one of the things she didn't want to do is she didn't want to be an administrator. So she saw people begin small ministries like ours and, in a few short years end up being somebody that's, pushing paperwork and supervising people and trying to figure out how to raise enough funds to make the rent. And she's like, yeah, I don't want any part of that. I want to connect with people that really have needs and I want to be there to serve them directly. So that's really been part of our model.
Now, you have written a book called Amazed, Why the Humanity of Jesus Matters. Does that tie in with the work you do? Because you're really meeting the physical needs of people who are struggling, you know, food, clothing, shelter, the real daily human needs that they have.
Yeah, I think we begin there. I mean, I think, we talk about it like in the breakfast ministry. If we were just a bunch of people that showed up at 5:30 in the morning on the street in front of Minneapolis and just started talking about Jesus, that would maybe seem a little creepy, you know, or something. But I think because we're there and we're concerned about what people are concerned about. And so if you haven't had a good meal, if you've got a coat that doesn't have a zipper, if you don't have a hat, if you need a bus pass to be able to get to the new job that you've got, that's your primary concern. And so as we love people, we care about what they care about. And if those are the concerns, we need to be there to arrest those concerns. It's at that point then that, it can start to forge a relationship. We can exchange names and have a conversation. And I've got hundreds and hundreds, countless friends in the homeless community now that just began by handing them a pair of socks, frankly.
When we meet a homeless person on the street, Richard, and especially those that are asking for a handout, you know, they've got a sign. I've heard some experts say, you know, it's really not good to give them money. Give them a gift certificate for a meal, or give them a little gift bag with some toiletry items in it that they can use. The folks that are involved in the Salvation Army and some of the shelters say that money is probably not the best thing you can do. What's your advice when you pull up to a stop sign and there's a person there that's panhandling and they appear to be homeless?
Yeah, that's a great question. I get to ask that frequently. I think it begins with if you think back to your intent. I mean, if you're really intent on meeting the needs of people, I mean, especially if you live in an urban area, and so you might more commonly come across somebody that might be panhandling, what responsibility do you have to be prepared? I mean, to think that through. I mean, I think that if I'm somebody that knows I'm going to encounter that situation, I mean, I think I have a duty to be prepared. And so being prepared might be, like I have $5 McDonald's gift cards that I have taped to little tracks that I hand out to people. I always carry socks. I've got hundreds of socks always with me. Socks are a great common thing because, you know, it's mostly one size fits all. And if you have worn the same pair of socks for a week or longer, you'll know what I mean. However, I don't rule out the possibility of actually giving somebody a couple of dollars or a $5 or $10 bill, especially when I don't have something to give. But I always extend my hand. I always introduce myself. I mean, there's a sense of brokenness when you're homeless. And that's probably the richest word that has come to me is brokenness, where I hear people describing themselves as maybe seeming less than human. Imagine spending your entire day with people trying not to make eye contact with you. Mm. I mean, there's a basic humanity in just making eye contact with somebody. If we go get a cup of coffee this morning at a coffee shop, or we might even look at a driver next to us to decide who's going to go next out of the four-way intersection. But there's that connection that we make with people. But frequently we try not to engage with a homeless person. And there's been times I haven't had any money, I haven't had anything to give. And I'll just be honest. I'll say, hey, man, how are you? My name's Rich. Extend my hand, say, you know, I have nothing to give you. I'm so sorry. I wasn't prepared for this, but I just, God bless you, man. And I just hope that you have a good day and, you know, whatever you're doing out here, that you're successful in that.
Richard, we know from the Bible that Jesus, he ate, he slept, he went through all the physical aspects of human life. But in your book, you say that the way we see Jesus is really almost the opposite of how his disciples viewed him. What do you mean by that?
You know, 2,000 years later, we think an awful lot about Jesus as being God, as we should, you know. But, you know, imagine a time 2,000 years ago where he was living among us as a man. I think they for a long time, had a pretty hard time seeing him as God. I mean, certainly he did. He lived, ate, slept, walked, taught with them, you know, and, you know, the theology behind Jesus is, you know, that he's both God and man, you know, 100%, 100%. And so I guess that's what the attempt is in the book, is to tap back into that humanity, that manness that Jesus is, really. And through that, personally for me, it's really helped me develop a deeper and a more personal connection to who Jesus is.
Mm. The book is called Amazed, Why the Humanity of Jesus Matters. The author, Richard Barr, the founder of Threshold to New Life Ministries. Richard, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate so much your heart, you and your wife both, and your kindness and concern for the least of these in our community.
Great. God bless. Thank you so much.